You know, what happened, you know, roughly 2,000 years ago is Jesus rode into Jerusalem. And when he rode into Jerusalem, the thought and the mentality of the people was that he was going to take over, that he was going to become king at that time and going to go, you know, I guess what they were feeling was they were going to go in and set up, government right then. He was just going to go in and call fire down from heaven and smoke the Romans and then everything was going to take place. And you know what I'm saying? This is what the mentality of the people was, that there was going to be this great, great event. And so they came in and everybody got all religious. Think about it, you know. Jesus is coming in to town and, you know, everybody put on their best. Right? I mean, if you knew Jesus was coming to your house, I mean, man, you know, you'd clean house or whatever, right? I mean, y'all with me here? A lot of times we live in the reality, or it's a false reality that, you know, we're living down here and heaven's up there and there's not really much communication unless you pray. And if you don't pray, but then you're not on the radar. Hello? Are y'all with me here this morning? We don't usually walk with the reality that Jesus is standing right there with us at all times. Because if we did, we wouldn't act like we do. You say, well, Pastor, I do pretty good. I have really changed in life. How about all the doubt and unbelief we have in us? How about all the doubt where we just don't even believe that God's going to move? Right? We don't even, a problem comes up in life and we look at it and say, oh, no. Am I right? Come on. You think, it's not just, you know, we say sin, but it's not just the things that we do that are not pleasing to God that he would be disappointed in. It's our doubt and unbelief. I don't know about y'all, but I'm hurt when, you know, if my family didn't believe in me, that would hurt me. Right? What about when your heavenly Father, Jesus, who went and died on a cross and hung there and was beaten and spit on and all the things that happened to him on the cross to go die for us, and we wouldn't even believe that he could get us out of a situation? Well, I don't think God can do that. What? So Jesus is coming in and they all take off their robes and throw them on the ground and they get palm branches and they put them on the ground. And as he comes in, you know, not on a great white fiery steed with steam blowing out his nostrils, but on a little burrito, you know. I'm telling you, if that event would take place here in Utopia and we were lined up on the streets, everybody say, well, couldn't he afford it, a horse? Somebody get him a horse. Somebody get Jesus a horse. My goodness. Am I right? And he comes in riding on there and nothing went like they thought it was going to go. He didn't call fire down from heaven. He came in and went into the temple and the first thing he did was clean the house. And said, everybody, get out of here, man. I want true worship. Get this thing out of here. I wanna see worship, and I want to see prayer going up for all nations. Right? Man, and he got violent, kicked over tables and broke out a whip and woo, man, fur's flying. Right? Because Jesus has a passion for his church and his people, and a passion to know what the truth is, and a passion for you to fulfill all the potential he has created in you. Jesus is passionate about you being everything you can be and not getting sidetracked in life with temptations or you know, whatever the stumbling blocks may be of you know, pride or whatever it is that would cause you to stumble, that you wouldn't be the person you're supposed to be. Fear, holding back. Because see, he looks in you and he sees you so much greater than you see yourself. You know, I hate to admit this, but it's only the truth. You know, I see myself differently than I am. Who y'all see, it ain't me. I look in the mirror and I don't even know who that guy is. I went to San Antonio and having to pick up some new shirts. And every time I was in there changing shirts and putting on there, I was like, who is this guy? Who are you? That's not me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. And this guy looks not too good. Because I don't look in a mirror. I don't like looking into a mirror and judging what that says. And I don't want to be judged by the world of who I am because of the way I look. I want to know that God Almighty is working on the inside of me. And I'm going to be everything that God called me to be. And according to Philippians 1:6, the good work he started in me and my family, he's going to finish it. And so if God's working on polishing up this old body and putting some Bondo where it needs some Bondo and some, shearing off some where it needs to be sheared off, well, then bless God, he's working a good work in me. And I'm going to reach all my potential. There ain't nothing in hell going to stop me. Come on. How about you? How about you? Have you looked in the fallow ground of your life and said there's all these places? Well, I can't ever be much of this. I might as well just settle for seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths. I might as well just eat from the trough that the pigs are eating from, because that's all I could ever do. Let me tell you something. God can swoop into your life and do all kinds of major miracles if you would just shut up and get out of the way. Excuse me for talking rough this morning. If you could just get out of the way. Just quit the negative. Quit the religious garbage. Just quit the doubt and unbelief. Just quit saying, well, I don't know, because I don't know if Jesus could do that or not. I mean, we don't, who are we to ask? It's the story, probably number 36 in my repertoire of stories. I even had a preacher call me this morning that I had to give him a story that for the illustration he was using in church. How about that? Good for something. So the guy buys a ticket on a boat. He's been saving his money. He's over in Europe. He's coming to America, and he's saved his money, and saved his money, and saved his money. He's coming over to this new landing. He only has so much money. The boat trip's going to take him so long, and he's got it all just rationed. He knows how he can make it, and so he packs his lunch because he doesn't have enough money to just go lavishly spending on there. So every night he goes out and he sits on the deck and he looks into the room, and the waiters got the little, little claws over there, and they're serving everybody. It's so elegant and so nice, and all the food is so great. It's so candlelight. It's glorious. And he looks in there and says, man, I wish I could go in there. He just sits down on the deck and gets his little cheese and crackers out, and eats his little cheese and crackers, and goes on through. And one day they notice him out there, and they say, sir, would you like to come in and dine with us? He says, no, I can't. I'm fine here. He's kind of embarrassed, and he goes off and sits down and finds him a place, and he tries to make the best of his situation because he's at least going to America, man. He's at least finding him a new home. And he looks over the rail, and he sees the waves, and he sees the sun setting, and he eats his little cheese and crackers and thanks God that he's going to the new land and everything's going to be okay. And so every night the waiter sees him and says, sir, would you like? No, this is all I want. So last night of the boat trip, they're coming over, they're getting ready to land the next day. And so finally the waiter comes out and he says, sir, I just have to ask you. He said, you've been out here. We've been on this boat for weeks now. Every time I've invited you to come in and you're just out there and I just noticed you eat your little cheese and crackers and look over the deal. And, we've invited you to come in. And he said, why did you never come in? Why did you never eat with us? And he said, well, I was embarrassed. I hate to tell you, but I got a ticket. And, for the voyage, but, I didn't have money to spend to go in there and eat. And the waiter just looked at him and says, sir, your meals were included in that ticket. You could have been dining with us every night. And that's the way most Christians are living. They're sitting on the deck eating their cheese and crackers, looking over and thinking about how great things could be, while never going into the throne room of God, when even though he says in Hebrews 4 for us to go boldly into the throne room of God and to ask our petitions from heaven. And we don't, because we don't think that we're deserving to go in there to get seated at the table with the king. So we sit out on the deck and we eat our cheese and crackers and we say, oh, you know, this world is infected with that same stupid thinking. It's not just Christians. It goes all the way through. We take murderers today and they don't want to hurt their feelings. And so they go into court and they say, well, you know, he's got rights too. And, you know, we can't do this. We can't. And we're so sheepish about saying, that guy murdered somebody. Get rid of him. Take him out back and just shoot him. The truth. I said it. I mean it. So what's wrong with the world today? There are no consequences for sin. Hello. It's that same spirit infected the world that, oh, we don't want to. I mean, they have rights too, and they have this and that. Well, yes. And we don't want to run a dictatorship around here, but I'll tell you, right's right and wrong's wrong. There ain't no getting in a gray area where, oh, you know. Christians are arguing. Well, I don't know if we can pray that because I don't know if God's going to do that or not. And the whole time we're sitting around arguing, nothing gets done. Well, I don't know if we want to believe that or not. You know, our church and the doctrine is here. Well, what does the Bible say? If the Bible says it's in it, and you can put it down in two or three places, you can find where the Bible says it, it is so. And if it isn't, then don't do it. And if it is, do it. Well, we don't know. And then just hey, folks, listen to me. They printed the Bible, and it's in English last time I checked, you know. Mine is. You can get it in Spanish. You can get it in German, whatever your language may be. But it's in English. Mine is. It's got red letters where Jesus said it, right? And there may be a typo. There may be a little word could have been translated a different way. But it's pretty basically all the way through. Keeps the same theme and theory all the way through, right? And yet, in the early church, they didn't have a Bible. And Paul just said, hey, listen, what I've been doing, just keep doing it. Just do like I'm doing. It'll be all right. They didn't have a Bible. They weren't splitting hairs over, well, that word in the Greek, you know, if he said it like this or that, and kind of, they were just being good, praying, say, God, by the Spirit of God, speak to me, let me know, and go out there, do what I'm supposed to do. And today, Christians are stifled, not doing anything, not reaching any of their full potential, because we're sitting around arguing about what's the right way. I don't know if you could pray that way, brother. That may not be the right way to pray. Look at the person beside you and say, man, pastor's preaching good today. My goodness. Are y'all hearing me? You hearing the craziness that's going on in the world where people are arguing about all this? You know, there's some doctrines that are out there that are, you know, there are bad and that, you know, that you have to stand against it. And say, that's not right. But again, find it in the scriptures where it says it. It says it, do it. If it doesn't, don't. It's not too complicated. Y'all with me? So we sit around not ever reaching our full potential. I love Texas. Did y'all know that they raised the speed limit to 85? Oh, yeah. Everybody's throwing a fit. Listen, everybody's throwing a fit. This is the principle that I love about it, okay? I don't even know all... the statistics and about whatever. But let me tell you what. If you can't drive your car 85 miles an hour and hold it on the road and not kill somebody, then don't do it. Nobody says that you have to drive 85 or you're going to get a ticket. See, that's where the world goes crazy. The world says, well, we can't do that. You know, if you can't drive your car, oh, so that person can't drive their car and sit down, put them in jail. Make them stop. But what I like is in the world going on and everybody's saying that, we just say, we're just going to go faster. Sometimes in life, you have to draw a line in the sand and say, no, listen to me. I don't care what you believe. I want to reach the full potential that I have of Jesus on the inside of me. I want to believe God for everything. I want to believe Him for everything. I want to believe Him for the small things, the large things. I was out there the other day. Have y'all noticed how bad the deer look? I mean, the deer look horrible. There's nothing to eat. Their hair coats have not even changed from winter to summer, and they haven't slicked off, and their hair looks terrible, and they're just in some really bad shape, worst I've ever seen them. And I was out there the other day throwing corn out to the deer around my house and feeding them, and I just started praying and said, you know, Lord, I don't know. I don't think deer can pray. You know, I mean, but then I came up with the scripture and said, Lord, you said all creation yearns and cries for the coming of the Lord. So I said, so that deer stand there looks bad, and Lord, it needs some help. And it says, you've used deer all throughout your scripture. So Lord, I'm just thinking, I'm just praying for them this morning. All of them stand there eating out of my corn bucket. Lord, they need some help. Now some people could say, well, that's the dumbest prayer I've ever heard. Well, it's His creation. If He wants to do something about it, if He wants to write it off in the dumb prayer section, put it over the dumb prayer section in heaven. I don't care. I get to heaven and there's a dumb prayer section and one of mine's in there, fine. I'm in heaven. What do I care? I would rather have prayers in the dumb prayer section than be void in my bank of prayer with nothing. Huh? Come on. You got to reach your full potential, church, and you cannot reach your full potential as long as you're full of doubt and unbelief that God's going to do anything in your life. You've got to break out of that thinking and reach to strive for your full potential and believe God to move in your lives. All throughout the scriptures, it talks about why am I having problems with peas today? Plowing up your fallow ground and getting to a place in life that you can be productive. Now I want you to look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See where we're going to go. That was all the introduction. We talked last week about Elijah. We said that the book of James says that he used Elijah as the person that you're supposed to be like. Elijah called fire down from heaven, folks. He also let Jezebel speak to him. And the Bible says that he saw what she said. In other words, he imagined the whole thing of what it was going to be. And then he ran in fear of his life. Right after he called fire down from heaven, caused it to rain, and outran a chariot. Sounds just like us. Right? Sounds just like us. We have one great day of victory, and the next day we're in the pit of despair and doom. Right? One day we're like, yes, God can do that. And the next day we're like, ha, ha. I really believe that James, because he was a pastor, and I really believe that that's why he referred to us. He says, and Elijah was a man. The Bible says he said of like passions. Frankie, he used you and Elijah. And you think about that. Oh. So there's a certain amount of Christians who would shrink back and say, oh gosh, Elijah, I mean, he's such a great man of God, and I could never be like him. Well, maybe you're not called on life to call fire down from heaven and to slaughter the prophets and do all that. But I want to tell you something. I think the point that James is making was that Elijah was a man that prayed and got answers from heaven. But Elijah also was a man who had some problems and God had to deal with them. And each and every one of us have problems. We all have issues. We all have things in life that come into our lives that we have to deal with. And those issues and the problems and things that come up, and Jesus said in the book of Mark, he says they're called hard places, they're called stones, and they're called thistles, thorny ground. And they're in our lives, and they're in our lives because of whatever reason. Your environment, the experiences you've been through in life, whatever, they come up in your life. Hard places in life where you don't trust and believe God for anything. You've lost the potential of that ground because it's hard ground. It's fallow ground. Y'all with me? And so it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, as it is written, Eye has not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He said that we as humans, God has great things prepared for us. God has great things he wants to do for us, but we don't perceive it with our eyes and with our ears. We don't perceive it. We don't believe it. We don't believe that we are able to do what God wants us to do. Y'all with me? We don't believe it's going to change. We don't. His eyes not seen, or ears heard, and has entered in the heart. Entered into the heart. In other words, you didn't really believe it because you wouldn't put faith in it. What's in your heart is what you truly believe. Now listen to me. That's a dangerous statement. Because what's in your heart you truly believe. So that means if in your heart there's doubt, if in your heart there's fear, if in your heart there's anger, then that means that's what you've put your faith in. It works both ways, church. You go buy a vehicle. You're going to go buy a vehicle that you believe in. And you can go find somebody else that will tell you that is the sorriest vehicle that you could ever own. You with me? Because everybody's got their opinion. That's what they believe. That's what's in their heart. And they'll stick to their guns and say, I wouldn't have bought that. That's the sorriest thing in the world. And you may, if you're really firm in your belief, and say, I don't know what you're talking about. I've had nothing but good luck with this vehicle. And it's been the greatest vehicles in the world. And I don't know what you do. Why don't you just be quiet and go do your own thing? Y'all with me? But you're going to do what you believe. You put on the clothes this morning that you put on, and you dress because you believe that you look good in them. Or your wife laid it out for you and you put it on because she told you to wear it. And you said, okay. And this is what's so good. And faith in it was in your wife. Faith was in your wife that she knew what you were doing. She wouldn't dress you like a, you know, well, I don't know. Let's don't even go there. Are y'all with me? What's in your heart's what you believe, and that's what you're going to do. And if your heart says, oh, gosh, I can't do that. I'm scared. I'll never go there. That's what you're actually utilizing and putting your faith in, is that fear, so that you won't move out and believe God for anything better. If there's a job you always wanted, but you never apply for it because you just don't think you could get it, and that's what you really believe, then you'll never apply for that job. Your faith is activating your belief system, and you're doing what you believe. Even though it's fear-based, right? Are y'all with me? I believe with all of my heart. And John 15:5 says that without Christ, I can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says with Christ, I can do all things. So as long as I got Jesus in the middle of my life, I'm not really too afraid of anything. Right? Your potential's there. You can reach your potential. You can do it. But you've got to look down inside your heart and say, what's in my heart? And it says, eyes not seen, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things that has prepared. God's got greater things prepared for you than you're believing. Verse 10 says something, though. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. In other words, he wants, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to speak unto you and to begin to open up your understanding so that you can see your potential. He wants to show you. He doesn't want to hide it from you. It's not a mystery. It's not something too deep that you can't get it. He wants to speak to you to show you what is hindering you in life from reaching your potential. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants to show it to you. He wants to bring it before you and let you see it so your eyes can see it and your ears can hear it. So it can enter your heart, so that as it enters your heart, then faith can begin to work in it and then you can walk in it. But if you don't believe it and you don't go through that process I just said, but let it go into your ears and get down in your heart, you're not ever going to believe it. You're just going to walk in life as just, you know, it might as well be a zombie. Look at the person beside you and say, are you a zombie? I'm telling you. Church, y'all can just say, well, Pastor, you're just extreme. You're just crazy. I just don't know how I could never be like you are or whatever. I'm telling you, I wasn't like always like I am. I had a lot of confidence when I was a young man, and it was founded in wrong things. But when God began to speak into me and show me that his word and everything, I could walk in everything that his word had for me, then my confidence rose in Jesus, not me. Oh, I'm an idiot. I'll get myself in trouble pretty quick if it's me. If I'm running the show, we're in trouble. But if Jesus is running the show through me, then we're okay. Everything's going to be all right. But if we would just rise up at some times when thoughts of doubt and unbelief or thoughts of discouragement come into us and we just stop right where we're doing, throw everything down and say, you foul devil from the pit of hell, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're not going to come into my mind or my thoughts. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. You will not enter my heart. God, your word says, the greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I want to tell you something. Your whole life would start to change. Well, Pastor, we're not very Pentecostal, and we don't do that kind of stuff. And so, you know, praying like that out loud, that kind of freaks me out, and I don't really want to do that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I mean, that's not really like what I was raised. When I was raised, we prayed silent like this. Yeah. All right, that's what you want to do, fine. You ain't going to get nowhere, but you can do it. Smith Wigglesworth, who's one of the greatest men of God in the early turn of the century, and he said he was standing out in front of a bus one day, and there was a lady who came walking down the street, and she turned around, and her little dog was following her, and she turned around, and she said to the dog, now, hun, go home now, go home. And she called the dog's name, you know, Fifi or whatever. He said, Fifi, go home. And then the dog kind of stopped and hesitated, kind of turned around, and then she went on, made a few more steps towards the bus, and the little dog turned back around and came back. And went to change. She said, now, Fifi, I said, go home. Go home, Fifi. And he said, he's just sitting there watching this whole scene. And so then she comes up a little bit farther, and she gets a little bit farther. The little dog's following her again. She turns around, and she says, Fifi, I said, go home. And she stomped her feet. That dog turned around, and just got out of there. He said, right then he just rose up, and he says, my God, that's what the authority of the believers is about. You see, we operate in this principle, but just not in the things of God. We operate in this principle with the natural things, but we don't ever operate with God. We just let the devil and all of his demon hordes of hell run roughshod over us, and then we think, my goodness, you know, things sure are going hard. Well, maybe it's time to stand up and chase some things off. Maybe it's time to start reaching your full potential. Maybe it's time to start looking down inside your heart, asking the flames and the fire of the Holy Ghost to come into your life and saying, Lord, what is truth and what is real? And what am I supposed to be doing, Lord? And I want to do what you want me to do, and I don't want to believe, and I don't want to come short of my potential in life. Lord, let the flames of the Holy Ghost burn in my life and burn out all the junk that I'm believing. Hello? Maybe it's time to have our world shaken and for us to have a forest fire blow through our hearts and let it be the flames of the Spirit of God and burn up the trash and the junk that's in us and the wrong thinking and the lack of potential and start believing God. Start becoming a Christian that if the devil pokes us, we destroy him. Devil's messing with your finances and things aren't going right. You find some place you pray and say, Lord, now where can I give? I want to rock somebody's world today, Lord. Where can I give? And you go find somebody and you bless somebody and you bless them and you enjoy blessing them. You're giving, you're loving to bless. Man, all of a sudden you're rocking the devil's world. He said, wait. Let's see, I hurt you and you gave. Oh, that ain't what it was. Oh, wait. I oppressed you and you spread more joy. Oh, wait a minute. I don't want you to do that. I want you to stop. I want you to be quiet. I want you not to do anything. See, when you live a life that you never stir the kingdom of darkness, well, you say, oh, well, then he's going to leave me alone, so this is a safe place to be. But you never go anywhere. You've got no potential. You're not going anywhere. I'd rather wake up every morning when my eyes open up that all of hell says, oh, my God, he's up again. You know, that story in Acts, can't call a chapter right now, but in Acts where the sons of Sceva were casting out devils, and they were just finding this out about, they'd seen Jesus do this thing. He says, Paul do this thing. He says, you know, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Paul, and the devil props up and said, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? I don't want the devil to have to ask who I am. I don't want the kingdom of darkness to have to go through a roll call and try to figure out who I am. I want them to know me on a first-hand basis. I want them to know, listen, oh my goodness, it's Robert again. I want the gates of hell to rattle in fear when I get up and I get stirred up and I get to pray and when I'm preaching. I want the gates of hell to rattle in fear that I'm preaching this word to you this morning. And that y'all are going to get stirred up. And y'all are going to get to get the flames of fire and on this Passion Week and all of it coming up right now. And it's coming up into Easter that you're going to be flaming with the passion of God to just let God burn out everything in your lives and be the men and women of God that He's called you to be. To take charge of your houses, to take charge of your lives, to take charge of your finances, to rise up and be the men and women that He's called you to be. To step out in life and not let any temptation and slimy snakes take you off over to the side, to the left or the right, but keep you on track in life. Man, folks, this world is nuts. People out there arguing about the most hideous things and wanting to see if can we do this or isn't this all right. People justifying sin today like I've never seen before in life. Want to have a whole government, want to take our taxes and kill babies with it and say it's okay. They need to do that. What are you talking about? There's no ration for that. None whatsoever. Well, Pastor, you know that's... Listen, that isn't even an argument. There's horrible things happening in this world, bad things happening in this world, but there's got to be a better way to do it than that. Are y'all hearing me this morning, church? Folks, it's time in life to stand up and say, no. We're for righteousness, and we're for holiness, and we're for living for Jesus with all of our hearts. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's time to stand up in life and say, listen to me, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't know what planet you're from, but listen to me. This is what's right, and that's what's wrong. It's not about Democrats and Republicans or liberals or conservatives. It's about right and wrong. The devil wants to cloud everything up and try to make it seem like it's a political thing. It's not a political thing. It's a spiritual thing. Until the spiritual thing gets fixed, ain't nothing going to happen right in the political thing. Since when? Listen to me. Oh, Lord. Since when? When is it right to... It's not bargaining. When is it right to hold a nation hostage through a means and a series of laws that only benefit one group of people? When is it right in life to take somebody out and to you know, fly them on an airplane when they get off their votes changes? When is it? Where do we got to go? Where do we have to go in life to just ask any person, is that right or wrong? They don't have to be a theologian. Folks, listen to me. Right and wrong is really evident. The only difference is the bad person doing the wrong justifies their doing it. But they know it's wrong.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm doing this because they did that.
But where's that right? What happened to just right and wrong? What happened to conviction? What happened to this world to conviction? People today have lost conviction to where they do something and they feel like that is, well, it was justified. Folks, listen to me. I wrote this down here. That in order for us to have good ground within our lives, that we want to grow and have our potential, if we do not allow the flames of the Holy Spirit to come in and convict us, and then we condemn the sin. We condemn. There's only one jury. Jesus is not condemning. It's your condemning. Remember John 8? The woman who came up and they said he caught her in the very act of adultery. Y'all remember this? Pharisees brought her up and said, we caught her right in the very act of adultery. Well, last time I checked or did a lot of research on this, if you're going to have adultery and you're caught in the very act, there's two people involved. You cannot commit adultery by yourself. But they only brought the woman. The Pharisees just trying to make a point, but they didn't even think about what they were doing was wrong too. Where was the guy? They bring the woman and throw it down before Jesus and says, Lord, we caught her in the very act of adultery. And Jesus said, well, stone her. That's what the law says. Go ahead, stone her. Oh, but by the way, let the first one of you that throws a stone, let him be the one that's without sin. And it says every one of them was convicted and turned and went away. The good news of the story is that they had some conviction. But they had masked it over with religion. They had masked it over there. And it wasn't until they came into the presence of Jesus was the veil taken away from their hearts and conviction of the Holy Spirit came into their lives. The problem with us is that we've justified our sins, justified the way we act, justified the things that we do until the place that we're okay in the eyes of the world until we come in the presence of Jesus. And when we come in the presence of Jesus, then all of a sudden, ooh. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to pray. We don't want to talk to him because we don't want to be convicted about what we're doing. Hello. Because in the presence of God, the Bible says, is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand the pleasures forevermore. But the fullness of joy comes about because he shows you what you're wrong in. And then says, wow, if you change, here's joy. Have you ever been doing something in life and you've always done it a certain way, and then someday somebody said something to you, hey, did you know you could do it this way and you did it that way and it was so much easier? That's happened to me before. And I was like, wow, that is so much easier. I didn't know that. Some of us are hard-headed and say, well, I've always done this way, and I ain't going to do this way, I don't care what I do, this way I do things. And you know what? Then just go do it that way. Just don't complain about it. Just don't complain. Say, I wish there was an easier way to do this. They were convicted. The conviction comes and then there's no condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, in Christ Jesus, he's not condemning you. We have to do it ourselves. We have to look at that ground and say, you know, that is no place in my life. And there's no place for that. We're the ones that do the condemning. We're the one that take it out. We're the one that hang it on the tree. Hello? Here you go. You need to have your own personal lynch mob to lynch yourself. Have your own personal, hit squad to knock off those crazy things in your life of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me, church. I'm telling you, the flames of God will blow across your heart and he will speak to you and he'll show you. Eyes not seen, nor ears heard, nor is entered into the heart of man the things that God prepared for him. But he has revealed them to us by your Spirit. If you learn a life of the Spirit, learn to live that life of the Spirit, he will speak to you, and you'll be growing and growing and growing and growing and developing and growing and growing and growing to man. After a while, nobody even knows who you are. I say, man, who are you? Things like that used to really make you mad. Yeah, I don't anymore. Got hold of it, took that thing out back and shot it. Got it out of my life. Holy Spirit spoke to me. Flame came up in there. I saw what was going on. Saw burnt back with the veil. I saw what it was. I had court. Took that thing. Called it guilty. Took it out the back. Shot it. Did away with it. Didn't put it in prison for the rest of its life. Just got rid of the thing. My grandfather, he was, in my opinion, was the most godliest man that I've ever known. He's a loved Jesus, sweet Baptist man, superintendent of the schools. He just the way that he looked and carried himself, he really in life in touched me and impressed me. And he told me as a young boy, at one time he wanted to be a doctor. And so he was going to train to be a doctor. And then he got in there and they started dealing with the corpses and things like that. And he said he couldn't do that. And it changed him. He went into education. And he said the other thing that had changed his life was is that he saw as a young boy a man hung. He said, my father took me down there and there was a man and he'd been convicted and tried and convicted and they had the gallows there. And I saw that man hang. And he said, Robert, it so changed my life that I never, ever wanted to do anything wrong. But today we have an image in front of all of our kids as if you got the right lawyer or enough money, you can get away with anything. That it's okay to lie and cheat and slander and you know, be full of pride and do whatever you want to, because if you know the right people and you know the right things, then you can get away with it. And we've projected that to a whole society, a whole generation, and now we wonder why they're growing up and so goofy. When I was a kid and I did something wrong, I got in trouble. But, I mean, we don't see anybody hung anymore for doing something wrong. Not that I want to go to prison and live there either, but, I mean, it's just a crazy thinking. It's a crazy, the mentality has changed, church. And what I'm saying is that we have got to be a church, a gathering of a group of people who want conviction in our lives because we want to live right. We have got to be in this day, in this hour, in this time, when the world is spinning out of control, somebody has got to be the group of people that stand up and say, no, that's not right. We want to, righteousness and holiness is right. And I'm telling you, it's yours by simply allowing the flames of the Holy Spirit and to start to live a life of the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit blow and breathe upon you and it'll all be changed. But you got to have that relationship, because it's when Jesus stepped up, those men were convicted. When Jesus is in your life, you're convicted. Look at the person saying, that's really good. I like that. Okay, I'm through. I can't go anymore, because if I go on more, then I'm just going to never stop. I want you just to put your Bibles up and let's just pray for a minute. Let me just pray. I can't make y'all do anything. And I can have you stand up and recite something, but it has to be your heart desiring a life of the Spirit. And so, Father, I pray right now over each and every person. I pray, Heavenly Father, right now that we would be a church and a group of individuals. Lord, that we would desire and yearn for the flames of the fire of the Holy Spirit to blow in our lives. Lord, that we would be convicted of the wrong that we're doing. We'd be convicted of the way we act, the things that we're full of doubt in, the things that we're full of ignorance in, Lord. And we'd be convicted. And that we would rise up and we would judge our own selves. We wouldn't have to have somebody else come tell us that's the wrong way to act, Lord. We would know. We would condemn ourselves. We'd be our own judge and jury. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for it. I praise you right now that even now there's a blowing of the winds of the Holy Spirit across each and every one of us. Lord, just a blowing of the winds of the Holy Spirit across us, just to stir in us. A flame, a fresh fire, a fresh flame of the fires of the Spirit of God. Just fresh fire in our lives. To just work in us and move in us and flow in us. That, Lord, when we read our Bibles, it'll be more alive to us than ever before. When we pray, Lord, our prayers will fall off our lips with like hot coals of fire coming out. Lord, that we'll see a change. We'll see a passion, a stirring on the inside of us. Lord, and we thank you for it. I pray right now that our eyes will be open. That our ears will be open. And that, Lord, your faith of your word will enter into our hearts. Your word. Your word. Your word, Lord. And it'll change us. It'll change us, Lord. Lord, and we thank you for it.